Now, as we head into what's looking like a beautiful weekend, we've got some good news for all you bikers out there. Today is the official opening day for the state's bike trails.
In addition, one state trail is celebrating a major milestone. 50 years ago, the Elroy Sparta State Trail became the nation's first rail-to-trail conversion. What was formerly the main line of the Chicago and Northwestern Railway is now one of the most popular bike trails in the country. And in addition, Wisconsin now boasts more than 80 converted bike trails and hundreds more non-converted trails throughout the state.
So if you're looking to get out and take a ride but aren't sure where to start, our next guest has some ideas. Dave Cheslevich is with us now. He's Executive Director of the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's hit the Elroy Sparta Trail first. 50th anniversary this year as a bike trail. How important has this trail been in establishing, you know, a Wisconsin reputation as a good state to bike in?
Well, it's actually nationally known. As a matter of fact, when it celebrates its 50th anniversary this summer, and by the way, they're going to have festivities in Kendall on June 6th, so you may want to check in with the Bike Fed website or with the Elroy Sparta folks for details on that, but there's going to be, I understand there's going to be sheet cake, so it should be pretty exciting. And that's a nationally recognized trail. The head of the national organization, the Rails to Trails Conservancy, Keith Laughlin will be there. Former Governor Tommy Thompson will be there, and it'll be huge. So that was the first rail to trail conversion in the country. Started in 65. I think the trail itself opened in 67. And today it's about 32.5 miles. And it provides economic activity for the area. It provides a great opportunity for families to get out and ride. It has those great long tunnels where you can get in the middle of one and see nothing but darkness all around, cools you off in the summer if it's a hot day. And so it's really been a flagship for the Rails to Trails movement. People, when they talk about Rails to Trails all over the country, they talk about the Elroy Sparta Trail. So we're really proud to have that here in the state of Wisconsin.
And did the success of the Elroy Sparta Trail set off a wave of other rail-to-trail conversions?
Sure did. I mean, there have been thousands across the country now. We kind of showed them the way here in Wisconsin. But in a lot of ways, I think Elroy Sparta still remains at least a sentimental favorite among even national rail-to-trails advocates. I know Keith Laughlin feels that way. He spends a good deal of time here in Wisconsin. And I think part of it is just where it is in our state, you know, a beautiful driftless area. Places, frankly, which would be very difficult for people to bike in this state. I mean, plenty of people do because they like the challenge of covering some elevation. But for those of us who like a gentler ride, the easy elevation of the Elroy Sparta Trail really makes it possible to bike in a very beautiful part of the state that would be very challenging for those of us who don't want to climb all those hills all the time. So, and, of course, you have the tunnels, which are fabulous, and some great communities along the way in Elroy and Sparta and Kendall and so many other places. So it really is, I think, a sentimental favorite that a lot of places in the country look to. They wish they had all of the elements of the trail. I should mention, though, as long as you got me on the topic, there is a bit of a threat there. So there's a proposal to put in an open pit gravel mine right at a crossing at Logan Road of the trail, and it's something we've been very concerned about, and something our membership has been concerned about. That's currently working its way through the process. So, you know, these trails are wonderful, but people come to love them, and when they do love them, then they're very concerned about the kinds of activities that might be occurring around them.
So what are some of the other rail-to-trail conversions here in the state that make for great rides?
Well, there are tons of them. And by the way, you can go to the DNR website and get a wonderful list of all the trails in the state, their mileage, the kind of service. Almost all of them are crushed limestone, which is very easy to bike on. Some are asphalt, but for the most part, crushed limestone. And you can click on any one of them and find out exactly where they are and get a trail map. I love Elroy Sparta. I love the 400 State Trail, which comes off of that one. That, by the way, is named after the train that used to run from Chicago to Minneapolis. It was 400 miles, and it could do 400 miles in 400 minutes. And so this is called the 400 State Trail. I'm a big fan of the Sugar River Trail in Greene County, not too far for those of us who live in the Madison area. When my wife and I were dating, it was one of our favorite outings on a Sunday afternoon to go to the Sugar River Trail. Starts in New Glarus, which has a lot of other things going for it, lots of Swiss heritage. Great bakery, by the way, in New Glarus. I've ridden the La Crosse River Trail, which is a wonderful trail out of La Crosse. The Green Circle Trail is a lot of fun. If you're up in the Stevens Point area, the Green Circle Trail is terrific. And again, it's a multi-use trail. Most of these trails are multi-use. They're primarily used by cyclists, but especially in the urban areas. They're used by a lot of hikers, a lot of runners. Here in the Madison area, the Southwest Trail, which I live a stone's throw from, is a heavily used trail as a commuter route for cyclists, but also for runners and inline skaters and all kinds of fun activities. I could go on and on, obviously, but there are over 30 trails listed. These are biking trails listed on the DNR website, and you're certainly welcome to go there and pick your favorite one. I should also mention that I was just talking about
Dave, let's pick up this point in a few minutes. We're talking right now about some of the best bike trails in Wisconsin. It's the official opening day today for the state's trails. 2015 marks the 50th anniversary of the nation's first rail-to-trail conversion, the Elroy Sparta State Trail. Our guest is Wisconsin Bicycle Federation Executive Director Dave Chislevich, and we want to hear from you, too, at 800-642-1234.
We want to know what your favorite bike trail in the state is. Is there a popular trail that you go to year after year? Maybe a hidden gem that you'd like to share with everybody? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking Wisconsin bike trails. Today marks the official opening day for the state's trails. And we're getting some suggestions on where to bike from Dave Chislevich, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. And from you at 800-642-1234.
Spring's here. Some nice weather this weekend. What trail are you going to bring your bike to? Is there a bike trail in your town you want people to come and check out? And where is your favorite place in the state to take a ride? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post at the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers in just a minute. But Dave, first of all, we've been focusing on the rail-to-trail conversions, kind of the more traditional paths. You were just about to tell us about the other kinds of bike paths.
Right. There are two other kinds of trails that we have in the state. Off-road trails, which are unpaved, don't have crushed limestone surfaces. And those are mostly in our state forests and parks. So, for example, Devil's Lake State Park has an off-road trail. And then we have constructed mountain bike trails. So those would be trails specifically constructed for mountain bikes with some of the technical aspects that mountain bikers like. And you'll find those in Blue Mountain State Park around here or, for example, the Kettle Moraine State Forest.
Let's go to our callers. You've got Mary on the line in Menominee. Mary, hi there.
Hi. I was just wanted to make a comment in regards to a favorite trail of mine, which I live on, is the Red Cedar State Trail that's outside of Menominee, and it goes along the Red Cedar River to the Irvington Hills and down through the Dunville Bottoms, across the railroad bridge, and then the trail continues on into Eau Claire.
Sounds nice, Mary. And do you get out and ride on that one?
Occasionally, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much for recommending that one. Dave, Riverside Trails, that sounds like a really nice ride. Any other nice ones that take us along a river?
Oh, yeah, tons. Well, the 400 actually goes, weaves its way along the Baraboo River in southwest Wisconsin. So that's one of my favorites. Obviously, the Sugar River Trail, named for the river. But actually, one that people often don't think of, the Hank Aaron Trail, right down in the Menominee River Valley. The Wisconsin Bike Fed office is actually right down there on the Hank Aaron Trail, which links you to the, I don't want to bring up a sore point, but Miller Park, where the Brewers are losing baseball games these days, and the Menominee River. So lots of great places to bike, and actually you can stop right there and fish, too, while you're at it.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Janelle in Madison next. Janelle, hi.
Hi. I have a question. My husband and I like to bike with our two young kids with a bike trailer. I'm just wondering if you have a suggestion for, like, I think they'd really enjoy the tunnels up in Sparta. If you have a suggestion where to, like, start and stop, a stretch that's not too long, but, you know, kind of exciting for the kids. So any recommendations would be great.
Sure. So the trail office is in Kendall, which is more or less in the middle. And you can bike in any direction from there. And really what's great about these trails is that you can turn around at any time. And so you can pick up a trail map right there, or you can go on the DNR's website and get a trail map off the website so that you can plan your trip. But it is easy to get to those tunnels. And, again, because it is a converted railroad bed, you're never going to go more than a certain percentage of grade. So it should be easy to ride, should be easy to get to those tunnels. They'll be a lot of fun for the kids. Make sure you have a light. And make sure the kids have something, a jacket to put on, because it actually stays pretty chilly in those tunnels all summer long.
Dave, we're 50 years, as we said, from the outset of the Rail to Trail program, kicked off with that Elroy Sparta Trail. What does the future hold? Are there more trails being developed here in the state?
Yeah, there's a number of exciting things going on. So one of the things the Bike Fed is involved in is a joint effort with the Department of Natural Resources and Department of Transportation to create a statewide bicycle trail network. When the trails were developed over the last 50 years, they're great, but they pretty much went in where a railroad line was abandoned and the opportunity presented itself. But now we have the opportunity to step back and look at that and see if we can't connect the trails into a cohesive, coherent network so that theoretically somebody could start in the southern part of the state, bike all the way up to Superior Park, start in the eastern part of the state, Milwaukee, bike all the way to La Crosse, while never leaving a state trail. So we're engaged in that planning process right now.
So what's the time frame on something like that?
Well, the plan will take about a year. So I would think by the end of this year, early next year, we'll have a plan in place. And then it will take, no question about it, decades probably to build out that system. But it's an exciting vision, and some of it can be put together relatively quickly. So what's called Route 30, which would be part of a national state trail system, Route 30 through the southern part of the state, could be completed relatively quickly.
Now, Dave, I glanced at the weather. Looks like a pretty good bicycling weekend coming up. Do you have a trail in the works this weekend that you'll be hitting?
Yeah, I think so. I love the Glacial Drumlin Trail, and that's close to home for me, so I think I might be hitting that one.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dave Cieslewicz. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. Joined us to talk about some of the best bike trails in the state and the 50th anniversary of the Elroy Sparta State Trail. That's the nation's first rail-to-trail conversion. You can still share your favorite bike trails over at the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Saturday, May 2nd is National Independent Bookstore Day. California started the observation last year, and the results grew into this year's national effort.
400 independent bookstores nationwide are joining in to share their message. According to the Indie Bookstore Day website, independent bookstores aren't just stores. They're community centers, local anchors run by passionate readers. Sponsors say indie bookstores aren't an anachronism. They're very much alive and growing.
Our next guest agrees with that assessment. John Christensen is the manager of Arcadia Books in Spring Green, Wisconsin. John, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks. It's nice to be here.
So, John, why should people get out there and celebrate National Independent Bookstore Day, do you think?
I think the website has it right, or at least what we're trying to do, which is to be more than just a place to get your latest book, but it's a place to figure out what that book is and have a discussion with passionate readers, whether they work here or just are also shopping here, who want to help you connect with that next book that's really going to perhaps make you think about something in a different way or take you on a journey that you weren't expecting. So we're really trying to to connect, you know, people with great writing, whether it's really old or really new. And so we hope that we get a chance to see a lot of folks tomorrow, as do all my colleagues at their stores around the state.
And what is your approach to hooking up the reader with that next great book that they're going to love?
Well, you know, you try to get them to talk. I always ask people when they say, I just need a really good book to read. I just say, well, tell me about another book that you liked. And it's as much about the way they talk about it as, you know, as what the particular book is. I mean, we try to have, you know, things where if they say, you know, if it's a younger person who says, you know, I really liked The Fault in Our Stars by John Green, you know, we have some other books that we think that they'll, you know, respond to well. But also you try to hear what, you know, what kinds of things make, you know, what kind of things people remember about the books they love, and you hope that you can point them to something that they may not have thought of, or that doesn't seem similar, but that you've learned, you know, brings out the same kind of response in people when they read it.
Well, right now there's a lot of new ways for people to get connected with a book. I'm thinking of, you know, the website Goodreads, or when you go on some of the major online marketplaces that sell books, Amazon.com, you can click on a book and it will say, people also read this book, and that's their way of recommending books. What do you think about how to stay competitive for independent bookstores when there are other avenues now for connecting readers with books?
Well, you know, I mean, people ask me that in the store a lot, and I will say, you know, we're not exactly in the same business as, you know, as online bookstores, because, you know, the big online bookstores, you know, aren't in your neighborhood. They're not bringing, you know, authors to your community. I mean, I'm ducking out right before we have an author event tonight in a few minutes. You know, and they're not, you know, they're not giving donations to, you know, to the local high school raffle and things like that. And not employing your friends and neighbors. You know. So we're competing in terms of, you know, of as much as, of what we contribute to our community, you know, as anything, and our job, you know, is to demonstrate that that's worth, you know, the sometimes higher price that you have to pay in the short term, but we think it's definitely a value to our customers, and our customers say the same thing. So we try to compete on what we contribute to our neighborhood and to our towns as much as anything.
Well, let's talk about that community building aspect of local independent bookstores. So there's the getting of books, the buying of books, the reading of books that sometimes happens there. But what about all the other stuff? What are some of those key things?
Well, you know, we have our own book clubs that we host that you know, each meet once a month that we organize, and we, you know, try to pick a slate of books that we think people will be interested in, you know, whether it's fiction or history or nonfiction. We also, you know, are a space, frankly. You know, a lot of book clubs meet here. We have, you know, have coffee and food and things like that as well, so people can gather and they can exchange you know, their latest interests, and we just try really hard, you know, to listen to people and take it very seriously whenever someone says that they're really excited about something. Especially, I always think, if I've never heard of it, I get really interested because you know, it's my business. So I like to pretend that I'm hearing about everything. So when somebody else is really excited about something, that's really exciting to me.
What is your sense of the overall health of independent bookstores, both at your bookstore and nationwide? Because, you know, we hear a lot about the decline of brick-and-mortar places, and even big chains like Borders went under.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, if you check with the American Booksellers Association, who are the kind of trade association of independent bookstores, you know, their membership numbers have gone up every year since 2011, which is the year that we started. You know, and for the number of independent stores is growing. You know, most of the the great store in Madison, Mystery to Me, opened up 2 years ago, and we've had, you know, more stores joining those associations nationwide. And I think that readers, you know, are figuring out that if they value what they're getting from discovering new books, you know, in that they weren't expecting to find, or, you know, talking to people who are passionate about what they read, that's worth something to them. And so I mean, I think that you know, brick and mortar stores are not going anywhere as long as people still, you know, still need the experience of somebody a real human, you know, putting two books together and saying, I think this is what you should read next.
You know, in getting ready for this, I was thinking about the novelist Anne Patchett. She wrote Bel Canto. She started up her own independent bookstore because she said she thought that she missed the kind of bookstore she remembered from her childhood and young adulthood that really didn't exist so much anymore. So she just opened her own bookstore. I gather that it's going quite well. Do you think there is something to that, that people miss maybe an old school style bookstore that is more of a community gathering space where there is more personal contact?
You know, I mean, I certainly think people connect with it. We opened our store within the same couple of months as when Anne opened Parnassus in Nashville. We're sort of learning things at the same pace. You know, I mean, Nashville, of course, is much bigger than Spring Green is, but I think, you know, as she writes about what she's experienced, I feel the same thing, that it's so much fun to put a book in somebody's hand and say, you need to read this because it's fantastic, and I can tell that you'll love it, and that's more fun than anything any of us get to do in the rest of our jobs. You know, so I think people do miss that connection. I think it's, you know, the author Jeff Kinney, who writes the Diary of a Wimpy Kid book series, also just opened a bookstore in Massachusetts. And, you know, so I hope this is becoming a trend, you know, where authors decide that the kinds of stores that they want their books to be in have to exist. And so that's going to be a growing club, I think, of best-selling authors who own their own stores. So it really, people definitely connect with the idea of the bookshop, you know, and the idea that there are people in there who know about all the books and can tell you about them and can find just the right one for you.
Now, we talked about technology maybe being a challenge for independent bookstores, but I suppose it doesn't have to be. Are there examples where you've embraced technology and it's enhanced your business?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, we sell e-books. You know, there's a partnership that independent stores can have with a great company called Kobo, you know, who sells e-books just the way Amazon does, and you can, you know, can sign up you know, as our customer and buy books from them, and we're their partner in that. And that's been a good program for us, and I think for a lot of stores. And we certainly don't, you know, I mean, I'm no Luddite. I mean, I read a lot of advanced copies on an e-reader. You know, we get a chance to read things before they come out, and that's the easiest way for us to get them. We're also starting to do author events, you know, via Skype and things like that, you know, where we can get a chance to connect our readers and our customers with writers, you know, who can't necessarily travel out to see us, but who can, you know, can take time to be in the same cyber room with our customers, and we can have great conversations that way. So I think technology, if everybody is smart, you know, is just going to bring us together more as writers and readers and as retailers.
And John, as we wrap up, you said your biggest thrill is putting a book in someone's hand that you think they're going to love. What should people read? What are you loving right now?
Oh boy, I tend to read a lot of what's just coming out. I try to keep it, you know, to half fiction and nonfiction. I'm more of a nonfiction guy by nature, but in this job, I've been reading more fiction. You know, I'm really enjoying books about grown siblings. If that seems to be a trend, you know. And there's a wonderful novel by Ann Packer, who people may remember wrote a novel called The Dive from Clawson's Pier a number of years ago, set in Wisconsin. She's got a new one called that is called The Children's Crusade, which takes a family of four siblings, you know, sort of weaving in and out of their childhood and into their adulthood, and we learn, you know, how they got the way they are and what happened. Nothing, you know, horribly traumatic happens, but it's a really interesting investigation of sibling relationships and the way that children perceive their parents very differently, you know, despite having had the same experience. So I'm loving that. And then there's a new book on the Wright brothers that David McCullough is about to put out next week. He's written, you know, wonderful books on the Brooklyn Bridge and on the Revolutionary War, and this is his new book on the Wright brothers, and I think it's just terrific the way his books always are. So
great,
I've been enjoying those.
couple of good recommendations. John, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the chance.
We've been speaking to John Christensen, manager of Arcadia Books in Spring Green, talking about tomorrow, which is National Independent Bookstore Day.